Hello, and welcome again to the Knowledge's Book Talk. This week, our guest is the wonderful and brave foreign correspondent, Christina Lam. Since an unexpected wedding invitation took her to Pakistan at the age of 21, she's covered conflicts all over the world. She's also somehow found time to write 10 books, including the best-selling I Am Malala with Malala Yousafzai.
I want to talk about my book, Our Bodies, Their Battlefields, which is the hardest book I've ever written, but also the most important to me. Why did I write it? Well, first of all, as a female war correspondent, going right back to when I first started in the late 1980s, I've always focused on what happens to women in war. Really, to me, the least interesting thing in war is what I call the bang-bang, the fighting, which is usually between men. I'm much more interested in how people keep their lives together, and that's usually women, who to me are the real heroes of war, but whose role was far too long ignored. There's also a dark side, however, and that's the use of sexual violence against women in conflict, which in recent years seems to me to have become an epidemic. The first time I really realised the scale and systematic nature of this was back in 2014 when I met a group of Yazidis who'd been taken as sex slaves by fighters of Islamic State or ISIS. Around the same time I was going to Nigeria a lot, you might remember the Chibok girls, around 250 Nigerian schoolgirls who were taken from their dormitory by Boko Haram fighters in the middle of the night and forced to beat their bush wives. In fact, when I started travelling around, those Chibok girls, half of whom, by the way, are still missing, were just the tip of the iceberg. I actually found tens of thousands of women and girls had been abducted and were in camps and had often been also raped by the Nigerian military who rescued them. Then, a few years after that, in 2017, I was in Bangladesh covering the exodus of Rohingya people from Burma, driven out by Burmese military and Buddhist militias. It was about 700,000 people poured across the border in a few months, mostly women and children. One woman after another told me about how they'd been dragged from their huts by Burmese soldiers, tied to banana trees and gang raped, often in front of their children. In each of these cases, there was international outrage, but no prosecutions. Many of the Yazidi girls have never been able to go home or have never actually come back from captivity. Some have even been driven to suicide. In the Nigerian camps, many of the girls rescued have been ostracized by their communities, who see them as sullied or brainwashed and treated them so badly that some have gone back to Boko Haram. For this is a crime where it's the victim who's stigmatized and made to feel they did something wrong. How can this be happening in the 21st century, and why is no one doing anything? When one of the Yazidi girls sent me a WhatsApp saying, "We told our story, but nothing changed," I couldn't answer the question. It made me sad, but it also made me angry. I ended up researching this more and more, and eventually wrote my book, Our Bodies, Their Battlefields, in which I interviewed women in 12 countries on 4 continents, and realised that the scale was far greater than I had imagined. In my research, I didn't find a single conflict where it didn't happen. Indeed, I could have gone on and on writing for its happening over and over again. The last couple of years, I've been spending a lot of time in Ukraine, where, as listeners probably know, Russians, when they occupied territories, began raping women and girls. And now I speak to you from Israel, where reports are emerging that many of the young women killed or taken hostage at the Supernova Music Festival by Hamas on October the 7th may have been raped. Of course, there always has been rape in war, going right back to the ancient Greeks and Romans. The very first written history by Herodotus starts with the abduction of women. But we are in 2023, and it is a war crime. And these cases are all where rape was used as a weapon, that fighters were ordered to do it. These are not easy stories to read. They were not easy to listen to, nor to write. But I believe we owe it to the brave women who spoke about their ordeals to share their stories and try and change things. So what do I like to read? Well, perhaps because I spend most of my time in bad places where people are doing bad things. When I am in those places, I like to read poetry and I like to read novels. I particularly like to read novels from places I'm reporting on. One of the good things about reporting on Ukraine was discovering some Ukrainian writers, in particular Andriy Kirkov and his magical book, Death and the Penguin. Not only does it have the best ever title, but it's a wonderful story of a struggling writer in Kyiv and his pet penguin, Misha, that he keeps in the bath and began looking after when the local zoo could no longer afford to keep him. The writer keeps him in fish by getting a job preparing advance obituaries. I'm not going to say any more. It's a thin little book and I don't want to spoil it. Only that it turns out Ukrainian zoos really did get so desperate they gave their penguins away.